and welcome to the Medicine Box, where we get you all things pharma and healthcare. I'm Ekta Batra. Today, we have with us an over 60-year-old Indian pharma company, the flagship company of the Torrent Group, Torrent Pharma. Torrent is most recognized for its strong domestic focus. It is the eighth largest player in India, with over 40% of revenues from the domestic market. It has in fact strengthened this presence with acquisitions in the past 10 years, such as buying Elder Pharma's domestic business in 2014 for around 2,000 crores and Unichem's domestic business in 2017 for 3,600 crores. However, while Torrent is strong in the domestic market with brands such as Shelcal, Unienzyme and Nebicard, it has been facing headwinds in other relevant geographies such as the US market, where it gets around 16% of sales, and Germany, where it gets around 10% of business. These headwinds include pricing pressure to US FDA issues in the US to a volatile tender market in Germany. We talked to Aman Mehta of Torrent Pharma today on current growth prospects, challenges and the larger picture. Aman, hi, welcome to the Medicine Box.
Hi, it's a pleasure to be on the show.
Well, Aman, you know, let's start with talking about the company's strong point, which is basically the domestic business. In the previous quarter, you did say you grew around 15-odd%. But what is the portfolio looking like now, currently, considering that COVID-19 has petered off and IPM growth, Indian pharma market growth, has probably dwindled a little bit at this point in time? There is some fatigue setting in. You can see it in the Feb numbers. So what is the domestic growth looking like currently?
Inherently, the market has a double-digit growth potential in India. We strongly do believe that. Just the Feb data, I would say, is a bit of an aberration. So it's probably more appropriate to look at the Jan-Feb numbers together. And that shows a decent growth for the market, about 7-8%. Jan had the Omicron scare, so there was a bit of overstocking in our view that led to the high growth of the market, which essentially got nullified in Feb. Going ahead, due to last year's base of COVID cases last year in Q1, there could be quarterly blips in growth, but we believe the underlying growth of the market should continue to be double-digit for the next couple of years.
Okay, so what is the underlying growth that we can expect for Torrent in particular for the domestic market?
So Q3 was 15%, which was significantly higher than the market growth. Going ahead, we believe that we should be able to grow above the market, and essentially driven because of our portfolio mix and therapy focus. Our biggest contributing therapies are cardiac, gastro, diabetes, and CNS. And these segments are some of the faster growing therapies. So because of this higher contribution from high growth therapies, we believe we are well placed to grow above the market by a few percentage points.
Okay, so 15 to 20% would be a good range to consider?
I would think so, yes.
Okay.
So 3% you said, right? 3 to 4% I would think above the market, yes.
Okay, all right. 3 to 4% higher than the industry average in terms of domestic growth. But Aman, you spoke about your portfolio. I want to ask you about some of your key brands in India, such as Shelcal, as well as Nebicard and Losart from the cardiovascular space. Give us a sense in terms of how exactly these brands are performing. Where do you probably see them go to in terms of absolute sales as well as growth, and what are the kind of growth plans to extend or expand these particular brands?
So at an overall level, the cardiac market is now the largest by size in the IPM, contributing more than 22,000 crores. Within this cardiac segment, Torrent is ranked second. So this is obviously a mix of brands and molecules which are in various stages of the life cycle. So there would be some brands which are high growth and some would be medium growth. Overall, we believe that the cardiac market itself should be a double-digit growth market going ahead, putting aside all aberrations from COVID-related treatments last year, of course. Our brand should be well positioned to be on par or slightly above the market growth in the coming years. So this would be led essentially by brands like Nebicard, Nicoran, Telmisartan brands, and so on.
What about Shelcal? Aman, what about Shelcal? That's around a 600 crore brand for you.
Yes, so Shelcal has also demonstrated robust growth the last couple of years. We have been focusing on some of the newer extensions which were launched 2 to 3 years ago. And these are really niche indications for specific specialties. So we are seeing a good traction in Shelcal XT, where we're focusing gynecology and ortho. And Shelcal 500 is also continuing its overall volume growth trajectory. So the Shelcal group overall, where half of the sales are coming from the original SKU Shelcal 500, the other half is coming from the faster growing niche combinations that we've launched in the last couple of years.
Okay, all right. What is the potential amount of price hikes that you can take in your domestic portfolio? You have managed around 6 to 7% on an average earlier. How much are you anticipating in probably the coming quarters or the next fiscal?
We think this range should be continued in the coming quarters and perhaps in the next 1 or 2 years at least. Generally, this is the price range that we are, or rather the price range that we're in is fairly competitive when we look at the nearest ranked brands as well. So this range of 5 to 7% is something that we feel is sustainable.
Okay. Is the fact that the government is pushing a lot towards generic medicines and the private market is also focusing a lot in terms of generic medicines in the Indian market, is that a threat to Torrent's portfolio?
In our view, no, because both are separate segments and very little overlap exists between the two. In terms of both the therapy contribution itself between the generic segment and the regional contribution. So both have their own kind of space to grow from here. And we are seeing in the generic segment also a very strong volume growth in the last couple of years. We have launched our own generic segment just about a year back. And are quite happy with how the first year has progressed. So this would be an important growth driver for us going ahead as well.
Okay, so just give us more details with regards to the generic segment. What is the kind of price difference between the branded segment as well as the generic segment? And what is the growth rate that you've seen? I know it's early days considering that it was launched a year ago, but give us a sense in terms of the growth rates as well.
So there isn't really a clear market growth defined for this segment, but it would be fair to say that this is a high double-digit growth volume growth segment. In terms of pricing, the MRP remains broadly similar across all categories, but it's the channel discounts that really are what are at play here. So for the end consumer or patient, that discount gets passed on. So that's where the difference comes in from.
Okay. The reason why you've actually managed to maintain your margins at around that 28, 30 odd percent band has been because of your focus towards the branded generic segment. I think you get around 60% of sales from branded generics, which you sell in India as well as Brazil. Now, with probably looking at generic segments as well, is there a shift in terms of strategy or does branded generics continue to be your strong point and your focus?
No, the branded business will certainly be the continued focus. While we have launched the trade generic segment, we don't anticipate this to be a major contributor overall. In the next couple of years, we believe anything between 4 to 5% contribution to the overall India business is what we would be looking at for the trade generics.
Okay, for the trade generics. Give us a sense in terms of whether you would be expanding into other markets when it comes to branded generics, because right now you have that presence in India and Brazil, but would that be a segment that you'd look at in terms of other semi-regulated markets, if not regulated?
Yes, that is definitely part of the overall growth plan for the branded generic segment for us. And recent entry for us is Mexico in the last couple of years, which is right now, of course, at a small base, but the early signs are encouraging. So there are possible other markets similar in size, which we can look at entering in the next couple of years.
Okay, just rooting back to the India business, one of your other strong points is the fact that you have a very strong market rep productivity. I think you generate around 10 lakhs per month from each MR in the market. Give us a sense in terms of whether that's actually a sustainable amount, or are we seeing it probably going to increase or reduce?
So this is essentially a function of the portfolio mix, where specialty-focused brands have a higher contribution for us, and that's where such a level of productivity is possible. But beyond this, we don't really intend to increase this further from here. The idea is to keep expanding the portfolio as well into newer therapies. But so this level or this range of productivity is something that we would be able to sustain. Going higher from here is something that we're not really looking into.
Okay, margins, they took a dip in the previous quarter, came in at around 25%. Your average margins have been in a range of 28 to 30 odd percent. When are you probably going to get back to those levels?
So just to recap, there was heightened pressure on the US business in Q3. We did mention that we have undertaken or begun cost remediation measures here. We believe that some part of it may be may take effect in this quarter, but a good part of it should be seen in Q1 next year. So hopefully by Q1 and Q2, we should be almost back to the earlier margin trajectory.
Okay, so a sustainable average in terms of margins would be what, 28 to 30 odd percent?
Yes, I would think so.
And what is the near-term input cost pressure that you're facing?
Because of our contribution to the branded segment in India and in Brazil, and more so even the therapy contribution, which is more chronic, not too much of a raw material or input cost pressure on the portfolio as of now.
Okay, all right. You did mention US price pressure, and I just want to get to that geography now. You get around 15 to 16% of sales from the US. Tell us, what is price pressure looking like for you? Which portfolio is probably most impacted, and how much is it?
So on an average, it would be about a 10% erosion, and that's pretty much what the trend has been for most of the generics in the last couple of years. Hard to really break it up into which one is contributing more, but right now for us, because of the lack of new launches, we are in a situation where the new products aren't able to offset this erosion. So for us to get back to that growth path in the US, we need to wait for the re-inspection, hopefully within this financial year. And that should really bring us back with the launch traction.
Okay.
Post that, we do remain confident that we should be able to see some of our earlier run rate of $250 to $300 million a year, hopefully, if the launches are back on track.
Okay. You know, some of the analysts are of the opinion that maybe you should probably just phase out your US business because with price pressure, there could probably be an impact on your overall margins as well. Is that something that you would consider?
No, that's not what we have considered right now. I think the US market is too large for any company to ignore. And while there is no denying that we are going through a rough patch right now, we believe it should be almost, we should be through the end of this phase in the next couple of quarters.
Okay, so are you saying that you're probably going to see around 10% price pressure in your US portfolio in the coming quarters as well? What's the average?
Yes, that would not be surprising given the recent trends. And of course, we did launch one of the derma products from our plant in Pithampur. So that should offset some of this erosion at a portfolio level. But broadly speaking, yes, a 10% erosion is something that we would expect.
Okay, so your Dahej and Indrad plants have been under the US FDA scanner. It's been, I think, around 2 to 3 years now. When are you probably expecting a re-inspection?
No real guidance on when we can expect it, but we certainly do hope that by the end of this year is we think some of the re-inspections have started now internationally for the FDA. So hopefully we should be looking at it in this coming financial year.
Is the remediation over from your end?
Yes, we have been fully ready for quite some time. And we remain confident of remediation.
Okay. And have you, when was the last time you probably spoke to the US FDA to request them to come and re-inspect your plant?
So that doesn't really happen. It's essentially more driven by their schedule. So we really hope that, I mean, at least based on our US inspection that happened in the last couple of months, that's where we do get an indication that they're starting once again soon. So, again, only kind of hope that we would have is in the coming financial year, it may happen.
Okay. So, once, say, hypothetically, the Dahej and Indrad probably come back on stream, what would the US launch pipeline look like?
So, there have been a reasonable number of ANDAs that we have filed. Some of them would still have, the commercial value that was anticipated during the time of development. Some would have lost that opportunity because of the delayed launch and the delayed timing. But I think a good part of it should still have at least a traction for the next 2 to 3 years post launches that we should be able to sustain a good base from here.
Okay. You know, I just wanted to focus on another market, which is probably more in focus because of the Russia-Ukraine tensions also, which is Germany. I think you get around 10% of your sales from that particular market. Give us a sense in terms of whether or not there are any kind of headwinds you faced because of the Russia-Ukraine geopolitical tensions.
At a macro level, yes. But from an operational perspective, still too early to say what kind of impact we're really seeing. Germany, the market overall has been fairly muted, the generics market. And that's really been one of the reasons last 1 or 2 years where our growth has also been muted. We anticipate that the tender market, which is opening up again in H2 this year, that's when we should be looking at a few more tender wins coming up. So hopefully by H2 next year, Germany should be back on a high single digit to double digit growth trajectory.
You don't have too much of a presence in Russia, Ukraine.
No, quite a small presence.
Okay. What about Brazil, the other market? Because that seems to be growing at this point in time. You have a branded generic presence. If you had to rank Brazil in terms of, say, a growth trajectory amongst India as well as US and Germany, where would it stand? And where would the other markets stand as well?
So growth trajectory and stability-wise, I think Brazil would be quite close to India. It's the market and the nature of the market is quite similar to the Indian market. Our presence is also built around our strengths in the Indian market, which are essentially around the chronic therapies. So we are present in CVD, CNS segments in Brazil. Brazil overall is a pretty, at a local currency level, has been a pretty strong growth market for us. The problem, of course, is when it comes to the currency depreciation, where the gains don't really get realized to the extent. At a underlying growth level, Brazil, I would say, would rank second out of all our key therapies in terms of growth stability.
Okay, and so that would be India, Brazil, and then?
India, Brazil, followed by Germany currently. We also have a strong ROW presence, which is growing fairly well now, reaching almost 600 to 700 crores this year. And that's also some of the key markets there, like Philippines, are growing pretty well.
Okay.
So ROW as a portfolio, I would say, would come close as well to growth sustainability.
Okay. Now that COVID is pretty much, not a huge revenue driver, I would say, probably maybe for some geographies, for a couple of companies, is there a opportunity in non-COVID at all?
Yes. So for Torrent, anyway, we haven't had much of an exposure to the COVID treatments. We've launched molnupiravir and a few other COVID-related treatments. But our emphasis and focus has been essentially getting out more and more innovative products in the Indian market in the chronic segment. So whether that's in diabetes or in the pain therapy. So our pipeline continues to focus on bringing out such either niche combinations or incremental innovation in India.
Okay. Just give us a sense, Aman, because you all have been extremely active when it comes to acquisitions, and inorganic is a part of the company's strategy. Give us a sense in terms of what the plan is. Are there any kind of acquisitions lined up? Are you looking at any kind of acquisitions at this point?
Yes, inorganic remains a strong focus for us as well. We have been evaluating several opportunities for the last several quarters. We believe that there is a strong opportunity for us in a pipeline or therapy perspective where we aren't really present, and building a franchise versus acquiring a franchise in a therapy would acquiring obviously would be much more feasible from a market share perspective. So that's how we look at inorganic in India. A couple of opportunities that we're currently looking at, but early to say how they may pan out.
Which segment would it be? Probably chronic, acute, OTC, and what's the size?
It would be a mix of all these therapies. No real preference based purely on the therapy. We'd look at more the market potential and strategic fit. In terms of size, we're not really looking at anything as large as Elder or Unichem earlier. I would say small to mid-size acquisitions.
Okay, all right, Aman, we're going to leave it on that note, but it's been a pleasure. Thank you very much for joining in and speaking with us on The Medicine Box.
Thank you.
All right, Aman, just hold that thought. We have a lot more questions for you. We need to take a short break and we'll be back in a jiffy. Welcome back. We're still tuned into the Welcome back. You're still tuned into The Medicine Box on CNBC TV 18. We're in conversation with Aman Mehta of Torrent Pharma.